Hari Parshad Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my Dhanavad Pranam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Prabhuji for joining this session and giving a very valuable association and enlightening on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela. I now hand over the call to you Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Mataji, for kindly inviting me here to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I hope you are able to hear my voice clearly.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, very nice. So, I would like to thank all the coordinators and managers of Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference for kindly inviting me here today to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I have been asked to speak on Antya Leela, 5th chapter, that is 120. And I will try to speak something on that topic. But before we begin speaking something, it is very much needed that we should ensure auspiciousness for the entire program. In order to ensure auspiciousness for the program, it is necessary that we should follow the path of the previous acharyas. Sadhu Vartmanu Vartanam. So how have the previous acharyas ensured auspiciousness? They have ensured auspiciousness by performing Mangal Acharan, auspicious invocation. So we will also perform Mangal Acharan by chanting a few mantras. Most of us know these mantras, so you can kindly chant along with me. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupah Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishaye Namah हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीन बंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. So thank you once again, dear devotees, for kindly being present here today. We are trying to discuss something from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it is pointless to discuss Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita unless we have Gaura Bhakta Vrindas. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is to be discussed in Gaura Bhakta Samaj. And all of you indeed are Gaura Bhakta Samaj. So for this reason, it is my great good fortune that I am able to speak Chaitanya Charitamrita in front of Gaudiya Bhakta Samaj. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Deva Rati Mati Bhave Bhaja Prema Kalpatarudata Braja Raja Nandana Radhika Jivanadana Aparupa Ehi Sabakatha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Deva, our Lord Chaitanya, Rati Mati Bhave Bhaja, worship Him with great love, dear devotees. Why? Prema Kalpatarudata is the bestower of the great desire fulfilling tree of Krishna Prema. All varieties of fruit, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, are available on this tree which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has planted. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Vrajarajanandana Radhika Jivanadana. He is actually Krishna Himself, who is the life and soul of Radhika. So how did He become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Aparupai Sabakatha. This is all a wonderful pastime. Navadvipe Avatari Radha Bhava Angikari. He appeared in Navadvip and accepted Radha Bhava, the mood of Srimati Radharani. Bhava Kanti Angera Bhushana. And He has two ornaments, which is His Bhava, His mood, and His Kanti, His effulgence. Tina Vancha Abhilashi Shachi Garbhe Parakashi. He has three desires in His heart, and because of which He has appeared in the womb of Shachi Devi. Sangelaya Parishad Gana. And He has not come alone. He has come along with His Parishads, with His associates. Gaurahari Avatari Premere Badarakari Sadhila Manera Nijakaj. This is Gaurahari. He has appeared, Premere Badarakari, in order to shower prema on everyone. Sadhila Manera Nijakaj. And while showering prema on everyone, His own desires are also fulfilled. Radhikara Pranapati Kibhava Kandayaniti. Oh, He is Radhika's Pranapati. Why is He crying for Himself? If He is Krishna, why is He crying for Himself? Radhikara Pranapati Kibhava Kandayaniti Tahabuja Bhagata Samaj. Only the society of devotees know why Krishna is crying for Himself. So, dear devotees, these are Srila Narottam Das Thakur's words, very sweet words. So, it is so nice to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because to speak something about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to speak about Krishna who was crying for Himself. So, it's a very great opportunity to speak something. Today, we are discussing from the Antya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. And I have shared my screen with all of you, and this is Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, Antya Leela, 5th chapter, verse number 120. Today we are going to discuss about Krishna Kavya Kala, the art of composing Krishna Kavya, and the entire pastime is revolving around Brahmana who tried to compose Kavya for Krishna, and he made a mistake in composing that Kavya or poetry. We will see what that mistake was, and then we will explore what is Krishna Kavya, importance of Krishna Kavya. So let's begin, dear devotees. The Bengali Paya of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we have to study today, is in front of us. Dui thai aparade pai vidur gati atatvajna tatva varne tare riti. So dui thai aparade pai vidur gati atatvajna tatva varne tare riti. This is the paya of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam that we have to discuss today. Now, we have to see the synonyms for this first. So, let's see the synonyms word for word. Duithai, unto both. Unto both means unto whom? Unto both Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Aparadhe, by offense. Pai bhi, you will get. Durgati, hellish destination. A tatvagya, one who has no knowledge of the absolute truth. Tattva Varne describes the absolute truth. Tara is A, this Riti course. So, translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Swarup Damodar continued, because you have committed an offense to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will attain a hellish destination. You do not know how to describe the absolute truth, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore, you must be condemned. Purport. The Brahman poet from Bengal was an offender in the estimation of Swarup Damodar Goswami. For although the poet had no knowledge of the absolute truth, he had nevertheless tried to describe it. The Bengali poet was an offender to both Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath, because he had made a distinction between Lord Jagannath's body and his soul, and because he had indicated that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was different from Lord Jagannath, he had committed offenses to them both. Atatvagya refers to, Atatvagya means, Atatvagya is one complete word. So not, it is not a tatvagya, it is Atatvagya, one complete word. Atatvagya refers to one who has no knowledge of the absolute truth, or who worships his own body as the supreme personality of Godhead. If an aham grahopasaka mayavadi, a person engaged in fruitive activities, or a person interested only in sense gratification, describes the absolute truth, he immediately becomes an offender. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So it's important to describe that technical term which Srila Prabhupada has put there, aham graha upasaka mayavadi. This aham graha upasana is also one of the techniques of worship which the impersonalists use in order to merge with the Brahman. So aham graha upasana means thinking that the Supreme Lord is present within my body, and then worshipping one's own self. That is called as aham graha upasana. So sometimes people will say that, you know, why circumambulate around a temple? Just circumambulate around your own self. So this is aham graha upasana. And aham graha upasana is severely disliked by those who are Vaishnavas. So Srila Prabhupada says, such a person, when he tries to describe the absolute truth, he immediately becomes an offender. Now we have to do a slight recap of this entire incident. What offense exactly has happened by this poet from Bengal, that we have to see. So we will do a small summary of what has happened till now. He, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is in Jagannath Puri. Now he is in Jagannath Puri, he is residing in Jagannath Puri, and the Antya Leela is a complete description of his final years in Sri Jagannath Puri. So in Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spending his time in doing some very important activities. What are those important activities? First and foremost, he is relishing Radha Bhav, or he is relishing the mood of Srimati Radharani. Now how is he relishing the mood of Srimati Radharani? So he is listening to this wonderful sweet poetry by Chandidas, Jayadev Goswami, Vidyapati. And who is reciting this poetry? Well, this poetry is being recited by Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. So, and Sri Rai Ramananda, all his close associates. So they are singing Kavya every day to him. Every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is listening to this wonderful Kavya poetry. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always eager to hear newer and newer kavya, or newer and newer poetry about Lord Krishna. Now what happens? There is one Brahmana from Bengal. His name is not mentioned. There is an anonymous Brahmana from Bengal who is very good friends with a devotee named Sri Bhagavan Acharya. Now Sri Bhagavan Acharya himself is a very learned personality. He is Nyaya Visharad. Nyaya Visharad means he is very expert in Nyaya Shastra. So Bhagavan Acharya is good friends with one particular anonymous Brahmana from Bengal. And because he is good friends with this Brahmana, what happens is that the Brahmana writes, you know, he hears about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Brahmana also writes a Natak. Natak means he writes a play for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in every Natak, there is a Nayak. Nayak means there is a hero of the Nataka, or there is the main character of the Nataka. So in this Nataka that this Brahmana has written, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Nayak, or is the main hero. We don't know anything about this Nataka, because the only thing we got to hear about this Nataka was the first verse, and Swarup Damodar Goswami did not write, like the first verse. Now, initially, some portions of this Nataka are heard by Sri Bhagavan Acharya and other Vaishnavas. So when they hear this Nataka, they are very much happy, very immensely pleased when they hear this Nataka, because, you know, they are so happy hearing that somebody is composing a drama centered around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they all have a desire that this drama should reach the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he should hear it while he is physically present, personally present on planet Earth. So they all have a desire that Mahaprabhu should hear and sanction this drama. Now, the usual way of presenting a drama in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to first get it authorized by Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Because Swarup Damodar Goswami is very expert in all facets of drama. So Swarup Damodar Goswami, when he is informed that there is some Brahmana who is writing a drama on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Swarup Damodar Goswami says, okay, drama means it should have Nandi Shlok. Nandi Shlok means there should be an introductory verse to the drama. So please tell me, what is the Nandi Shlok, or what is the introductory verse? So he recites that introductory verse and everybody is very happy. But Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami is extremely unhappy on hearing that Nandi, because there is Siddhant Virodh. Siddhant Virodh means there is inappropriate Siddhantas being presented in it. So this inappropriate Siddhanta being presented in it makes Swarup Damodar Goswami very unhappy. Everybody else is very happy. Wow, you know, what an articulate piece of poetry. It's a good kavi. So they all know that Goswami has the exact opposite reaction of it. Now, Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami ends up speaking some very harsh words to the Brahmana in the entire assembly. So this is a summary of the events. Now we have to understand one thing, that what exactly it is, what is the exact verse which made Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami so unhappy, so unhappy. So we will see this verse. This verse is specified in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This verse is in the Meter Malini. So this is the Brahmana's verse which has impersonalism in it. I am singing this verse, which is in the Meter Malini, same meter as Govardhan Vas Prathana Dashakam. Vikachakamala Netre Shri Jagannath Samgye Kanakaruchirihatman Yatparamya Prapannam Prakriti Jadamashesham Chetayanna Virasit Sadishatutava Bhavyam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. So this is Malini Chanda. This is the verse written by this Brahmana. Now, let me explain this verse as it was intended by the Brahmana. What was the intended meaning of the verse in the mind of the Brahmana? So, the Brahmana is saying, Kanakaruchir, please see the second line, Kanakaruchir. There is somebody who is golden hued. Kanaka means gold, Ruchi means hue. There is somebody who is golden hued. Who is that golden hued? Last line, please see, Krishna Chaitanya Deva. His name is Shri Krishna Chaitanya Deva. So there is a golden bodied Shri Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Okay. And what has he done? Please see the second line. Iha Atmatam Yaha Prapanna. He has attained oneness. Atmata. Prapanna means he has attained. Praptaha. He has attained Atmatam. He has attained oneness. Oneness with whom? Atmani, with his own self. Achha, he has attained oneness with his own self. What is the meaning of that? With whom has he attained oneness? with Vikachakamala Netre, with that personality who has fully blossomed lotus eyes. What is his name? Shri Jagannath Sangye. His Sangya, his name is Shri Jagannath. So with that person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this golden body Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has attained complete oneness. Fair enough. So what's the problem? Oh, the problem is in the third line. Prakriti Jadama Shesham Chaitayanna Virasit. In this way, by attaining oneness, Prakriti Jadam Ashesham, this infinitely dull material body of Jagannath has been Chaitayan, has been enlivened by him. So he compared the body of Jagannath to Prakriti Jada, Jad Prakriti. So this is one problem, big problem. That Jagannath's body was Jada, made out of dead wood. And by attaining oneness with that dead wood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has enlivened that dead wooden body of Jagannath. Big aparad. Aparad number one. Aparad number two is in the second line. So this first aparad is towards Jagannath by saying that Jagannath's body is Prakriti Jada. Second aparad towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Atmatam yaha prapanna. He has become the Atma of Jagannath, which means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Atma and Jagannath is the Sharir or the body. So which means Jagannath is like a conditioned soul who has an external body and a soul underneath it. But Siddhanta says that in Krishna there is no difference of body and soul because Krishna's entire body is his own self. There is no distinction of body and soul in Krishna's existence. So this is aparad towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, comparing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to a jiva, and comparing the second aparad is comparing Jagannath's body to Prakriti Jada. So, sa dishatu tava bhavyam. Sa, may that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dishatu ensure tava bhavyam, your auspiciousness or your prosperity. So, this is the verse which everybody heard it and so, wow, awesome, brilliant verse. Swarup Damodar Goswami immediately caught. So, this is the translation. By Srila Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul. See here, this is the aparad. He has become the soul of the body named Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus, he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. Which dull matter? That body of Jagannath, which is made out of wood. He has compared that body to dull matter and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought it to life by becoming one with it. May that Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya Dev bestow all good fortune upon you. So, dear devotees, these are the two aparads in this verse. Now, having seen this verse and the problems with it, see, there are no other problems. The grammar is perfect. The meter is perfect. Everything else seems to be perfect. The only problem is Siddhanta Virodh. There is big problem in Siddhanta. And there are two Siddhantic problems here, which I have listed. Now, it is very obvious that when some kavi or when some poet is in this way, somebody points out a fault with some kavi like this, that too publicly, then such criticism immensely hurts. We have to when we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, sometimes we have to put ourselves in the shoes of each and every person who is there. Because in Krishna Leela, we can't put ourselves in the shoes of each and every character. Why? Because some characters are demons. So when we are reading Krishna Leela, we can't put ourselves in the shoes of Kamsa. And, you know, think what must Kamsa, you know, if I would be Kamsa, if I would be in his place, what would I have felt? So that we cannot do because we are supposed to do anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. We are supposed to think from a positive point of view. But in Gaur Leela, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, we can put ourselves in the shoes of each and every devotee. Because there are no demons, there are no asuras in and around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. So let's put ourselves for some time in the shoes of this poet. This poet with a very good intention, he had no malicious intent in his heart. With a very good intention, he has written some poetry. What was the intention of this original intention? If we scrape through all the layers of poetry and faults, and then we get to the heart of the poet, what was his intention? Was his intention to blaspheme Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deride Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, trivialize the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What was his intention exactly? Dear devotees, if we analyze this carefully, his intention was to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at least one thing we know, that although he has a Siddhantic problem in his poetry, but his heart originally, his intentions originally are in the correct place. But still, he has been criticized severely by Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, and it hurts actually. If we were in the, all of us, each one of us, if we write a new poet, write a new verse or an entire drama, imagine he must have written an entire drama with so many verses. And then suddenly the chief of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, your drama is offensive to Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's offensive. You will be degraded by writing such a drama. Obviously, this criticism is going to hurt. Why? Because if we put ourselves in the shoes of that person, we will understand how much effort it takes to write even a single verse, how much effort it takes to write a single sentence in these languages of drama, these pristine languages. Because dramas are, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, most of the dramas were written in Sanskrit language. And they have to be in a specific meter. So it requires a lot of hard work to reach to that stage wherein one is able to write and compose verses of one's own. Therefore, the poets say very clearly, Vidvaneva vijanati vidvajjana parishramam nahi vandhya vijanati gurvim prasava vedanam. Vidvaneva vijanati vidvajjana parishramam. Only a vidwan, only a learned soul understands what is vidvajjana parishram, what is the hard work put by another learned soul. A person who is not vidwan, you cannot understand, cannot understand, cannot understand. Vidvajjana parishramam. Then an analogy is given to explain it. Nahi vandhya vijanati gurvim prasava vedanam. A lady who has never given birth to a child, she can never understand the pain of childbirth. Never she can understand what is the severe pain of childbirth. So just as a lady who has never given birth to a child can never understand the severe pain of childbirth, similarly a person who has never personally taken the efforts to study all the shastra and then write a verse will never be able to understand what is the effort that is required to compose a verse. Correct or incorrect, or siddhantically, that's a later issue. Simply to compose such a verse is very difficult. This is the translation. Only a learned person can truly understand the efforts and hard work of another learned person. A barren woman can never understand the pain of giving birth. Very important. And because it's so easy for us to categorize this person as somebody who is in the rejected box. Swarup Damodar Goswami rejected him. So now he is eternally in the rejected box of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Dear devotees, this is not the case. This person will never be rejected either by Swarup Damodar Goswami or by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He will be fully accepted. Just that he needs a little bit of training, and that Swarup Damodar Goswami will guide him very properly. But first and foremost, we have to understand that if we were in the shoes of this devotee, criticism would have hurt us very much. And as I said, it is immense efforts are required to become a kavi. It's not that, you know, by some rudimentary knowledge of kavya or poetics, one can become a kavi. No, no. Entire knowledge of basic shastra is required in order to become a kavi. What all things are required, Swarup Damodar Goswami will himself specify. But first and foremost, we have to understand that immense amount of effort is required to become a kavi. You see, even in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, when this Kavi is reciting his poetry in front of Swarup Damodar Goswami, all others are appreciating. All others are appreciating. But he is the only Kavi in that assembly besides Swarup Damodar Goswami. Only two are Kavis. So in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, it was very rare to have a Kavi. So there are many who hear Kavya and derive a lot of pleasure. But to compose Kavya, the effort required to become a Kavi is immense. The previous poets have described this. Na sa shabdo na tadvachyam, na sa vidya na sa kala, jayate yanna kavyangam, aho bharo mahan kavehe. Na sa shabdo, there is no word in the Sanskrit dictionary. Na tadvachyam, there is no meaning of a word in Sanskrit dictionary. Na sa vidya, there is no vidya or knowledge. Na sa kala or art in the Vedas. Jayate yanna kavyangam, which is not required for composing kavya. All vidyas, all words, knowledge of all of those words and all the vidyas are required for writing kavya. Aho bharo mahan kavehe. Wow, what is the great burden on the shoulders of the Kavi? Immense burden is there on the shoulders of the Kavi. And after he has written a poetry, he wants to show it to others. Then somebody comes and says, you have written incorrectly. And it's like a big hammer on the heart of the poet. So this is the translation. There is no word, no meaning, no knowledge or art form that does not become a limb of Kavya or poetry. Aho, surprise, what heavy responsibility lies on the shoulder of a Kavi. Immense heavy responsibility is there. In Swarup Damodar Goswami himself describes what all knowledge is required for becoming a Kavi. Swarup Damodar Goswami says, a person who wants to describe Krishna Leela, because there are many people who want to describe Krishna Leela, and say, yeah, I will also try to become a Kavi. Swarup Damodar Goswami says, if a person tries to become a Kavi without appropriate knowledge, he will become char, useless person, completely useless person. These are Swarup Damodar Goswami's exact words. Dear devotees, please hear carefully what all knowledge is required in order to become Kavi. Shri Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Vyakaran nahi jane, na jane lankara, natakalankara jnana, nahi kaya hara. Krishna Leela Varnite Na Jane Sei Chhar. So Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Vyakaran Nahi Jane. First and foremost, a person who does not know grammar, Sanskrit grammar, is first knowledge that is required for writing poetry. Swarup Damodar Goswami's words. Na jane alankar, then he does, a person who does not know alankar, literary ornaments, figures of speech as we call them in English. Nataka alankara jnana, and then there are some special figures of speech or poetic metaphors in natya, in drama. Nahi kayahar, one who does not know all this. Krishna Leela Varnitena. Jane, such a person can never describe Krishna Leela. Sai Chhar, this useless person cannot describe Krishna Leela. This is the translation by Srila Prabhupada. A poet, a so-called poet, who does not know the grammatical regulative principles, who is unfamiliar with metaphorical ornaments, especially those employed in drama, and who does not know how to present the pastimes of Lord Krishna, is condemned. Sai Chhar, useless person. So, dear devotees, in the words of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami himself, we can see what is the effort required to compose Kavya. And therefore, we should be a little sympathetic towards this person, this Kavi, who may have made some mistakes in writing Kavya, but he is a Kavi. He has the heart of a kavi. He has the heart of a poet. And therefore, if only his siddhantas are corrected, he has all the other knowledge required for composing kavya. Everything else is with him. So, in the end of this pastime, we will see that Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami takes him under his guidance, and Swarup Damodar Goswami tells him, study Bhagavatam from a nice Vaishnav, know the proper Siddhantas, then you can definitely write Kavya. Definitely write Kavya. You can definitely compose. See here, three things are mentioned by Swarup Damodar Goswami: Vyakaran, Alankar, Natak Alankar. First thing, grammar. First and foremost, grammar. Without grammar, it's like somebody saying, I want to write English poetry, but I don't want to study English grammar. That is not possible. I want to study Shakespeare, but I don't want to study English grammar. Sorry, sir, not possible. So first thing, Vyakaran. First thing is grammar. Then Alankar. Then poetic books. Then Natak Alankar. Then specific ornaments pertaining to drama. Then one can know what is the art of composing Krishna Leela. Then if one has the proper Siddhantas, then one can compose. Otherwise one is char, useless. So this is important to understand what is the requirement, prerequisite for Kavya. What is the huge effort required to become a Kavi. Now this poet from Bengal has already taken the effort, but only one limb is missing. He does not have the proper Siddhantas of the Srimad Bhagavatam with him. So, somebody may think by looking at all this, you know, why should one at all invest any time in Kavya if it is so difficult to compose such poetry? Why invest so much time? Why not do the simple things? Why not always, you know, why not take the easier route if it is so difficult to compose Kavya? Because, dear devotees, it's important to understand that each and every one of us, especially those who are a little refined in their taste, they have some heart for Kavya. They have some heart for poetry. The previous kavis have said, Kavya Shastra Vinodena Kalo Gacchati Dhimatam Vyasanena cha murkhanam nidraya kalahena va. Kavya Shastra Vinodena Kalo Gacchati Dhimatam. Dhimatam, those who are very intelligent. Tesham Kalo Gacchati, they spend their time, how? Vinodena, in relishing the mellows. Which Vinod? Bhakti Vinod. Or devotional mellows. Kavya Shastra Vinod, of devotional poetic mellows. By relishing poetic devotional mellows, their entire life is spent. See how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent his entire life. In Bhakti Kavya Vinod, he spent his entire life in relishing Bhakti Kavya. Jayadeva Goswami, Vidyapati, Chandidas. This was the staple diet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And for those who don't do that, then the poet says, Vyasanena cha murkhanam. Then those who are foolish, they will spend their time in some addiction. They'll watch TV. They will play video game. Or they will think about stock markets and share markets. And everybody needs some addiction, dear devotees. Some addiction is needed. So why not have, you know, Kavya Vyasan? This is the best Vyasan in human form of life, to compose poetry. Although it's very difficult, the prerequisite, the standard is very high. But one who takes the effort, his entire life is spent in happiness. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, entire life is spent in happiness. He takes a good bath throughout his life in the ocean of Shabda Brahma, Vedic literature. And he is able to realize Parabrahma, Lord Krishna himself. So, Vyasanena cha murkhanam. So, foolish people spend their time in some addiction. Nidraya, or in sleeping. If not some addiction, then they love to sleep. Kalahenava. If not that, then they love to spend time quarreling with each other. So that's what they like to do, foolish people. So we should not be foolish like this. The time of learned intelligent souls is spent in relishing the mellows of poetry and Shastra, whereas fools spend all their time in some useless addiction or sleep or quarrel. So dear devotees, we are intelligent people, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Swarup Damodar Goswami, like Rupa Goswami, like Sanatan Goswami, like Raghunath Das Goswami, like Jiva Goswami, like Narottam Das Thakur, like Shyamanand Prabhu, like Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, like Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, like Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like Srila Prabhupada. We will spend our entire time in Kavya Shastra Vinod. Prabhupada used to say, retire me from these GBC duties so that I can spend my time composing these purports. These are my devotional ecstasies. Kavya Shastra Vinodena Kalo Gacchati Dhimatam. So, I want to spend my entire time. Please free me from these responsibilities of GBC and management. Prabhupada used to request his disciples. So, this is the staple diet of the intelligent devotees. Please try to understand why we should invest time in Kavya. Because this is the pleasure of all the devotees. This is pure pleasure. Kavya is pure pleasure. Bhakti Kavya is the ultimate pleasure in the human form of life. Ultimate pleasure in the human form of life. Zero cost, maximum pleasure. That is what is Kavya. But the learning curve is very steep. It's very high. So, that effort is required. Now, if somebody says, I want to avoid Krishna Kavya, no, I will do something else. I will not relish Krishna Kavya. So, yes. So, what else can we do? So, somebody says, I will chant. Okay, that is very nice. Chanting is Yuga Dharma. One who can chant 24 hours a day, and then that is, they do need not do anything else. But if one is not able to chant continuously 24 hours a day, then there is some portion of the day when the mind is free. And when the mind is free, at that time, if we are not listening to Krishna Kavya, then Maya will come and she will sing her Kavya. She will start singing her Kavya. So, this is specified in Srimad Bhagavatam. Nunam daivena vihata ye chachyuta katha sudham hitva shrinvantya sadgatha purushameva vedbhuja. Such persons are condemned by the supreme order of the Lord. Because they are averse to the nectar of the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because they are averse to this Kavya, or the nectar. They are compared to stool-eating hogs. They give up hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord and indulge in hearing of the abominable activities of materialistic persons. Then, when they are free and they are not chanting, because they are not chanting 24 hours, and what do they do in the rest of their time? Then Maya will come and, you know, she will come through the via medium of some song on YouTube. Then that song will have, you know, I love you, my dear friend, and there are so many, you know, nice songs on YouTube, and they will hear those songs, and this is Puri Shamiva Vidbhuja. It is like compared to stool eating. Why? Because useless. You could have spent all this time in glorifying Krishna, but you spent in hearing some other Kavya. One way or other, Kavya is important. So many times, devotees, sometimes they used to ask me, Prabhuji, it is very difficult to memorize verses. You know, say you should take interest in Kavya, but it's very difficult to memorize verses. You know, so I always say, it's not difficult, because, see, there are so many songs which this music industry, Bollywood, has put out. And if I sing the first line of that song, then I guarantee you that you will be able to sing the rest of the songs. The inner lines, the ending of the song, everything you have memorized. So many songs we have memorized. So, memory is not a problem here. Second thing is, even in Sanskrit language, we have memorized many Kavyas. If I just say, Vande Ham Shri Guru, then everybody will repeat the, such a long poetry. Vande Ham Shri Guru, Shri Yuta, Padakamalam, Shri Guru, Vaishnavamcha, श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. मेनी ऑफ अस इवन विदाउट अंडरस्टैंडिंग ईच एंड एवरी वर्ड हैव मेमोराइज्ड दिस, बट स्टिल इट्स सो इजी टू पुट इट टू मेमोरी व्हेन वी रिपीट समथिंग. सो मेमोरी इज नॉट अ प्रॉब्लम हियर. द प्रॉब्लम इज आवर इंटेंशंस. वी शुड हैव दैट intention of indulging in Krishna Kavya. Now, we have to understand, while composing Kavya, our Siddhanta should be pakka, perfect, 100% pakka Siddhantas. But sometimes it's very difficult to have pakka Siddhantas, perfect Siddhantas. Sometimes even great sages do not describe the Siddhanta correctly. Doesn't mean that we should not try. We should always try to write Kavya. Even if sometimes the Siddhanta is not, you know, slightly goes off, the great devotees will definitely correct us. So, sometimes even great souls, they are bewildered in writing Kavya. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Evam vadanti rajarshe rushaya kechanan vita yatsvavacho virudhyeta nunam tena smarantyuta. This is the translation. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king. But those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their own previous statements. So now Shukdev Goswami is making an interesting statement here. This chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Shukdev Goswami was describing Krishna's battle with Shalva. Shalva was another demon king who attacked Krishna's Dwarka through an airplane. So Shalva, he tried to attack Krishna's city, and when his attacks were failing, he did some magic trick. He showed Krishna a dummy image of Vasudev, Krishna's father, and he showed how he beheaded Vasudev in front of Krishna. And when Krishna saw that Vasudev was beheaded in front of him, Krishna started lamenting. So Shukdev Goswami says, some poets, some great sadhus also, they are great sadhus, rishaya, he says, they are rishis. They start saying that Krishna was actually lamenting at that point of time. But actually, when they say like that, they are speaking illogically, because Krishna can never fall into lamentation. And they are contradicting themselves, because these same sadhus have previously also said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these sadhus are contradicting themselves. So even great sadhus, dear devotees, are sometimes bewildered in describing Krishna. So it is no surprise that this Brahmana from Bengal also became a little bewildered in describing Krishna Lila. But his plus point is he tried. It is better to have loved and lost, dear devotees, rather than never have loved at all. It is better to have composed something for the pleasure of the Lord and made some mistake and then be corrected, rather than never having composed anything at all out of fear that I will make a mistake. So it is better to have loved and lost rather than have never loved at all. This is the mood of a kavi. So the best education that Swarup Damodar Goswami specified, he told this poet from Bengal. He didn't say, now you are banned forever. Don't come here in our Sangha anymore. You are banned from the temple. You are Mayavadi. No, no, no. His heart is in the correct place. So Swarup Damodar Goswami gave him a very sweet advice. What is his advice?
Yah Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane एकांत आश्रय कर चैतन्य चरणे.
He said, yah, go, Bhagavata pada, and study Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavair sthane, from a self-realized Vaishnava, from a pure Vaishnava, so that you will not have any siddhantic difficulties. And see, there are pure devotees in many sampradayas. Finally, whom should you, which sampradaya should you take shelter in? So Swarup Damodar Goswami says, Ekanta Ashray, take exclusive shelter, Karo Chaitanya Charane, at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you may learn Srimad Bhagavatam from any self-realized Vaishnava. But after learning that, you should take one pointed exclusive shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was the solution given by Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Not that all your Kavya is useless now, all your Vidya is useless because you spoke some mistake. No, no. Just correct one or two facets of your education and you will be a very nice Vaishnava. So this Vaishnava did that. He stayed in the association of Bhagavan Acharya, Sri Bhagavan Acharya, and he was studying Bhagavatam, and then his Siddhantas were corrected. So this is the best education for Krishna Kavya. The best education is to first understand all the Siddhantas of Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely, and then to also have the prerequisites that Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami said, which is Vyakaran, Alankar, Natak Alankar, and then one can use their skills in composing Kavya for the pleasure of Krishna. Now, why should Kavya be composed? Every generation has composed Kavya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed Kavya? Yes. Next generation. Six Goswamis composed Kavya? Yes. Next generation. Narottam Das Thakur composed Kavya? Yes. Next generation. Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur composed Kavya? Yes. Next generation. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur composed Kavya? Yes. Next generation. Srila Bhakti Siddhant Saraswati Thakur composed Kavya? Yes. So much literature. Next generation. Srila Prabhupada composed Kavya? Yes. Prabhupada wrote poetry in Bengali language, Gitar Gan. Next generation. Should we compose Kavya? Yes or no? So the answer is very clear, dear devotees. In every generation, there should be composition of fresh Kavya. Krishna should be offered fresh Kavya by the fresh flowers of all the fresh generations of the Krishna Bhakti movement. So, this is Krishna Kavya. And the magnanimity of Swarup Damodar Goswami did not end there. What Swarup Damodar Goswami did, one more thing. He interpreted that mistaken verse of that Bengali Brahman in a way that the offenses were removed. Dear devotees, this new interpretation is given in various verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It spread over many Bengali pious, but I have put it here in one place. See the same verse. Vikachaka mala netre Shri Jagannath samje Kanakuru chirihatman yatmatam yah prapannah Prakriti jadam shesham Chetayanna virasit Sadishat tava bhavyam Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Now see how Swarup Damodar Goswami has interpreted the verse. He did not change a single word, changed only the arrangement or the anvay, the alignment of words, and removed the aparads. What is his translation? Having attained yaha prapanna, oneness, atmatam, with the very self, atmani, of the blooming lotus-eyed Vikacha Kamala Netre, Sri Jagannath, Sri Jagannatha Samge, the golden-hued Kanakaruchi, Lord has appeared avirasit here iha, while enlivening Chetayan, the endless ashesham dull material world Prakriti Jadam. May that Sir Krishna Chaitanya Deva ensure Dishatu prosperity Bhavyam for you. So what Swarup Damodar Goswami did is, he changed the Prakriti Jadam which was being applicable to Jagannath's body. He now applied it to the material world. And he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Atmatam, he has attained oneness with Jagannath, and he is now enlivening not that dull body of Jagannath, but he is enlivening the dull material world by his appearance. So may that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ensure auspiciousness for you. So in the previous offensive interpretation, Atmatam was he has become a soul, and here Atmatam means oneness. Sorry, it is written as oneness here, oneness. And the second offense was Prakriti Jadam, which was referring to Jagannath's body. Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami interpreted it as dull material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is enlivening the dull material world by his appearance. The same verse, all the same words, just their rearrangement, and this is the expertise of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. This is a poet actually. He keeps the words of the other poet and he gives a brand new interpretation to it. So, dear devotees, we have to understand how to use words in the service of Krishna. Sometimes those who are impersonalists, they use word jugglery to deny Krishna's personality. Word jugglery to deny Krishna's personality. And this is extremely hurtful to Krishna, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should not do that. In fact, we should use all our word skills, all our word jugglery, whatever we have learnt, to glorify the personality of Sri Krishna. To glorify the personality of Sri Krishna. So, such glorification of Krishna's personality is found where there is one devotee poet who is using his word juggling skills to glorify the personality of Krishna. Now, exact opposite, because so many times word jugglery is used to deny Krishna's personality. Now, here is a devotee poet who is using this juggling of words to glorify Krishna's personality. Since it is Kartik Mas, dear devotees, so Damodar Leela is a very important part of our Gaudiya Vaishnava schedule in Kartik Mas. So in Damodar Leela, the two trees, Yamalarjun trees, are pulled down by, you know, Krishna, by Damodar. And then these two come out and, you know, Yamalar, this Nalakuvar and Manigriv, they come out and they glorify Krishna. And in glorifying Krishna, these two trees, who were trees previously, Nalakuvar and Manigriv, they speak one or two verses in which they describe him slightly impersonally. Slightly impersonally. They say, you are the entire universe. Every name and form in the universe is you. Which means, you know, you have no fixed name and no fixed form and qualities. That is the implication of their prayers. So one or two prayers in their stuti, in Yamalarjun stuti, is pointing towards Krishna as being nirguna, without any fixed quality, and nirnama. Nirnama means without any fixed name. So the devotee poet Sri Harisuri, he composes a verse there at that point of time. He composes this verse and he says, Nirnama nirgunam abhani yadiya rupam yabhyam sadaiva bahusabhya janam chitabhyam drishte sannama nigunenya pitat swarupe siddhurthato nanutadagam abhuri bhangaha. So he says, Nirnama nirgunam abhani yadiya rupam, whose form, he has a form, he says, yadiya rupam, he has a form. But his form was described as nirnama and nirguna. His form was described by these two, Yamalarjuna, as nirnama, without name, and nirguna, without qualities. So these two were trees. They were jada. Jada, one meaning of jada is dull. One meaning of jada is like, you know, one who does not move like a tree. So these two jadas, they describe Krishna as nirnama and nirguna. But he has a rupa. Yabhyam sadaiva bahusabhya jananchitabhyam. And they described him in this way. Drishte sa namani guninya pitatswarupe. But then they suddenly saw tatswarupe in his original spiritual form. Sanamani. He has an eternal name. What is his eternal name, dear devotees? Damodar. And Gunini Api. And he also has gunas in him. Dear devotees, here is the word play on guna. Because one meaning of guna is quality. Another meaning of guna is rope. So they saw the Supreme Lord with nama, with his name. And they saw him with gunas, with rope. Or with spiritual qualities. So when they saw that, Siddhurthato, it is very correct, Sri Harisuri says, very correct. Tada agama bhuri bhangaha. That these agama, one meaning of agama is trees.
these two trees were nicely destroyed. Bhuri Bhanga, very nice that these two trees were destroyed, because they described the personality of Lord as Nirnama and Nirguna. Therefore, it is very right, very correct of Krishna that he destroyed these two. Another meaning of Agama is literatures. So it is very nice that Krishna destroys such literatures which describe him as impersonal. Very nice, Sri Hari Suri. Double meaning on Agama, double meaning on the term Guna. So this is how he glorifies Krishna's personality. Nalakuvar and Manigrave described and glorified the Lord as being without Nama, name and Guna qualities. However, when they saw the same Lord as having an eternal Nama, that is named Damodar, as well as Guna, here Guna means ropes, around him in his original form, it was natural that the Agamas, that means these two trees, or the literature which describe the Lord as impersonal, were completely destroyed. This dear devotee is a Vaishnava poet who has studied Srimad Bhagavatam. Every day he used to study 12 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam dedicatedly, understood all the Siddhanta very nicely, and then put down his pen for composing his Krishna Kavya. And there is something which he says, which is very important. I would like to conclude at this point. He says, when he starts composing his Kavya, he says one thing which is very important. He says, you know, I don't know if I have any other skills or not. I may not have any other skills, but I have one skill in me. He very, you know, openly declares, I have one skill in me. And this is his verse. He says,
Saubhagyaspadamekamasti mahila bhaleshu chet kumkumam Saubhagya pratipadanaya tadalam kim tatra bhushantarai evam matkavita pragalbhavanita Saubhagya samdhayakam Mukhyam Shripati Bhushanam Vijayate Nyastam Navalankriti.
He says, I am writing this Kavya, my poetry, he says, Sri Hari Suri says, I am writing my poetry in glorifying Krishna Lila. Saubhagyaspadam ekamasti mahila bhaleshu. Mahila bhaleshu, on the forehead of a lady. Mahila bhala. Bhala means forehead. On the forehead of a lady. Saubhagyaspadam ekam asti. There is only one indication of good fortune on her forehead. Only one indication of good fortune. What is that? Chet. If that is present, what is that? Kumkumam. Dear devotees, if this kumkuma is present on the forehead of a lady, if only one thing is present on the forehead of a lady, it denotes good fortune. Saubhagya pratipadanaya, for denoting her good fortune. Tadalam, that one kumkuma, that one good ornament is enough. Kim tatra bhushantarai, what is the need for any other ornament for this lady? She has the one main ornament on her forehead. So, similarly, evam mat kavita, similarly my kavita. Kavita is also a feminine term, dear devotees. So my poetry, the lady of my poetry, pragalbhavanita, she is so bold. She is so bold. Saubhagya sandhayakam, that in order to denote her good fortune, my poetry in order to denote her good fortune, mukhyam shripati bhushanam vijayate, my poetry only has the kumkuma, the tilak, the sindoor of Lord Shri Krishna on her forehead. Nyastam navalankriti, let there be no other ornament in her. She has only one ornament on her forehead. That is Lord Krishna's personality is present on her forehead. This is the only ornament that my poetry has, he says. So this, dear devotees, is the true ornament of Krishna Bhakti Kavya. And this is what all of us poets should aim for. I'd like to conclude at this point of time by saying, Yadatra skalitam kinchid, vidvam sahapura yantutat, yadatra saushtavam kinchid, tad guru revame nahi. If there were any mistakes in this presentation, dear devotees, all of you are vidwans. Purayantu tat. Like Swarup Damodar Goswami corrected this Bengali poet, you also please correct me and correct my mistakes. But yadatra saushtavam kinchit, if there was anything nice in what I presented, please understand. Tad guru reva, it belongs to my gurujanas, all the gurujanas, from the guru who held my hand and taught me how to write a, e, to the guru who gave me spiritual initiation and showed me the ways of Krishna Prema. It all belongs to those gurujanas. Me nahi, it doesn't belong to me. Thank you very much, dear devotees. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. What a beautiful, beautiful session. I was so much waiting for the session. Thank you so much. And really, you presented so nicely how the meaning changed drastically by just arranging it in a different order. And the entire presentation and the final verse by Hari Suri, it was so beautiful. Both the verses by him were so beautiful. Thank you for always adding that as the ending of every lecture. Mm-hmm. It makes the whole lecture so nice. Very nice, Prabhu. I have one question. Of course, this is not related to the poetry part of it, which was actually the focus of the class. It is more to do with what you spoke in the beginning of the class, circumambulating oneself. So I have oftentimes come across, I don't know if this is from Hari Bhakti Vilas or where, that circumambulating in the same place, you know, sometimes people turn around. Is that by any chance forbidden, at least in the Vaishnava culture? Because sometimes we do see people while doing Tulasi Parikrama, there is a practice of doing it in the same place. So can you comment on that practice? If it is right, actually, wrong, whatever it is.
Yes, because the very meaning of the term pradakshina, pradakshina, dakshina means to the right. That is the meaning of dakshina. So when we do pradakshina, we have to keep to the dakshina, to the right side, that entity whom we are offering respect to. Now, when we are doing swapradakshina or aham grahopasana, so whom are we keeping to the dakshina? We are keeping aham to the dakshina, therefore it is not allowed. It is not good actually. The very definition, by its very definition, pradakshina means to keep the respectful object to the right and circumambulate around it. That is what it is.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Such a fantastic class. So grateful. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Mataji, did you want to go? Somebody else was going?
Yes, yes. It was Kirtida Sundari Mataji, I think. Mataji, you can go ahead.
Okay. Sorry, Paneshwari Mataji. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you so much for such a beautiful and brilliant class. And especially the meaning that altogether changed. And we have seen in Bhagavatam also that how Saraswati changed the meaning, especially when Indra, you know, he was saying, and when there are a couple of instances during Prahlad Maharaj instance also. So thank you, Prabhu, for bringing up that point and sharing it so beautifully. And me and Preeti Vilasini were discussing that how now a great Kavya like yourself will comment on this topic of Kavya. And you did it so wonderfully. And in the next generation, as you said, that we are really seeing you, that how beautifully you are, you know, writing all those kavyas, and you are sharing with us, and it's brilliant. And we are like others. Like, I have this question also, this that why others appreciated his, you know, his kavya, though Swarup Damodar Goswami, you know, he pointed out the mistakes, but why others were not able to point out the mistakes, and how and why they appreciated it, because they were also learning men, right?
So, first and foremost, when I'm, because you said that I'm composing and speaking some kavya, Mataji, if you hear the laughter on the higher planets, it will be, you know, they are all laughing on this kavi. Because the previous acharyas, they are seeing, you know, Bal Chapalta. You know what is Bal Chapalta? Small child is trying to dance around, and then they are laughing, because actually speaking,
It is drishtata. On my part, it is drishtata. It is boldness on my part to try and compose anything. But still, I am willing to take the risk, so I am taking the risk. You know, better to have loved and lost rather than never have loved at all. So I am taking the risk only and only for that reason. Otherwise, if you see the previous Acharya, Dhruva Goswami will laugh and sing. This person is also now today, Aajkal Hari Parshad is also composing Kavya. Oh my God. Rupa Goswami will laugh like this. So, anyways, and regarding the second part of what you asked, what was that about, Mataji? It was about...
why others like Bhagwan Acharya and all others are simply there.
Right. Because they appreciated it because they picked up some words from the Kavya and they were like, you know, the last line, Sadishatu Bhavyam Chai Krishna Chaitanya Deva, picked up some lines and then they thought, oh, very nice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, he's ensuring auspiciousness. See, initially even Swarup Damodar Goswami did not immediately point faults. First and foremost, Swarup Damodar Goswami asked him, you explain your own Kavya, you translate your own Kavya. And when he translated his own Kavya, then Swarup Damodar Goswami got, acha, now here is the problem. So, first and foremost, the Kavi should be given an opportunity to explain himself. That because the Kavya can have many meanings. So, if the Kavi's intended meaning is not impersonal, then that's okay. And that is the reason why, first and foremost, Swarup Damodar Goswami asked him, you explain your Kavya. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami pointed out faults. So, Swarup Damodar Goswami being first and foremost understanding the Kavya, understanding that it has some problems, and then bringing out the problems through the mouth of the Kavi himself. That is what Swarup, that is the extra step taken by Swarup Damodar Goswami, which others could not do, maybe because some of them could not pick up all the words. And some of them, even though they picked up all the words, they might not have the same interpretation as this Kavi. So that may be the reason, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And as you said that, you know, Rupa Goswami will be laughing. So we all at Bhakti Sangha will be there to back you up. So nobody really loved your, you know, love the way you write and the way you explain. So we really want you to please go ahead with it and... go ahead with this service, and we really enjoy and we really love it. We want to be in that bliss, Prabhu. So thank you. Thank you so much for doing this justice to this class and this section of this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you, Prabhu.
If Rupa Goswami, Rupa Goswami is laughing, then all Rupanugas will also laugh, which means you will also laugh, Mataji. Huh?
No, Prabhu, we are there. We are there. We'll definitely back you up. Don't worry.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. I think if Rupa Goswami is laughing, that must be because if somebody ever said or thought that the current generation or future generations will never be able to compose again in Sanskrit, it is a lost art, then Rupa Goswami is laughing. That just see, there is Hari Parshad Prabhu who is keeping the torch glowing. So in that sense, we will also laugh with Rupa Goswami.
Thank you, Adigadhar Prabhu, for supporting. Thank you so much. And you know, one of the quality of a devotee is that a devotee is a poet. And we can see in you, Hari Parshad Prabhu.
See, Adigadhar Prabhu, you're already counteracting poetry with poetry, Prabhuji. Huh? So, Prabhu, I think it's high time you should start composing some of your own, Prabhu. I want to see some poetry from you, Adigadhar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I don't know any language. So, but thank you, Prabhu. I'm so happy that this particular section of Chaitanya Charitamrita came to you, because you are the right person to speak on this, isn't it? Prithi Vilasini Mataji?
Yes.
Mataji is Thank you, Prabhuji. I loved your class. And as usual, it was brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Jai Srila Prabhupada. This is Radha Bhav Dasi. Prabhuji, thank you for such a wonderful class. It was so enlightening. And maybe, you know, all of us could also attempt to write poetry and send it over to you so that you can also have a laugh on all of us.
No, Mataji. I'm busy laughing on myself. 2 days after I write a verse, I'm laughing on myself. Foolish person, you could have written this so much better like this. So that is what my time is spent in, Mataji.
It's so inspirational that after hearing you, even though we don't have poetic abilities, we feel like trying to develop them. But unfortunately, we are not blessed. So we are so happy and eager to hear from wonderful devotees like you who are inspiring us, at least in our thoughts, if not our actions. Thank you so much.
In any language, Mataji, one can write. So, you know, even if any language that we are comfortable with, we can write. So many poets, they wrote in Indian, local Indian languages, or in English also we can write. So whatever language we are comfortable with, we should write poetry from time to time. Thank you, Mataji, for that.
Hare Krishna. Kind
of. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you very much for a very wonderful class. So a couple of questions, or one question, but just a comment I wanted to make is that when you said that you are like a small child, when you see a small child dancing and everybody's laughing, but you're forgetting that when people are laughing, the small child dancing, they're very happy and they're excited and they're enthused when they see this child dancing, because she is trying to dance, and that itself causes them so much happiness. So you actually picked the appropriate metaphor, because that's why they're laughing, because they're so excited to see what you're trying to accomplish. So that's one thing. A second thing I wanted to ask you was, actually, when you first started the class, and I was thinking, because I was talking to a friend and I was telling her, I would like to compose poetry. And then when you started the class and was talking about, you know, who shouldn't compose poetry, I said, okay, well, let's chuck that idea out the window. So I thought, I'm not. But then you said, but we should still try. So I thought, oh, okay, then maybe I don't have to chuck it out the window just yet.
Right.
Thank you for that. One question I have, the verse you were talking about where it says Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Atmani of Jagannath. I don't want to sound negative, but how cannot somebody interpret that as meaning become one with the Lord?
Yeah, that's what Swarup Damodar Goswami interpreted in his interpretation.
But one with the Lord, then is that not impersonal? I'm not sure I understand exactly how. Of course, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he is one, but...
Yeah, impersonal is Jiva Brahma Ekyavad, the living entity becoming one with the Supreme Brahman. Not the Supreme Brahman becoming one with the Supreme Brahman. That is not impersonal.
Okay. So, but if somebody... If somebody does not... Okay, if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming in the representation of a devotee, then cannot somebody take that and say, okay, see, he's a devotee and he's becoming one with the Lord, you know, regardless of the fact that we accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Can't somebody switch it that way or misinterpret it that way? How do we reconcile that?
Somebody may say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee, but which devotee? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha. Which devotee? Not any devotee. He's not any. He's Radha. And for him to become one with Jagannath is not impersonalism. Why? Because Radha is Shakti. Jagannath is Shaktiman. Shakti and Shaktiman are always one, simultaneously one and different. For someone to say that Shakti became one with Shaktiman, no problem, because Shakti is eternally one with Shaktiman. But if somebody says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee, therefore, he is playing the part of a jiva, and then this jiva became one with Jagannath. Oh, that's big problem. That's big problem, because that is jiva brahma ekyavad, the philosophy of considering the jiva to be one with the Supreme Brahman, which is not allowed for a Vaishnava. That is the difference. So, I hope there is a fine hair split here. I hope that it is clear.
No, and I'm glad you said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not just a devotee, he is Radha herself.
Right.
Because I think that fine line, as you said, was not really distinguished in my mind. I didn't really stick that point. So that's thank you very much, Prabhu. I was kind of afraid to ask the question, because then I thought, if I'm not going to ask you here, then, you know, I'll be stuck in limbo forever. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I also feel afraid sometimes, you know, what question will be asked. Anyways.
let anything be asked. You know, I am prepared with my answers.
Okay.
Thank you.
Again, wonderful.
Hi, Krishna. Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Financially, thank you so much for asking the question that I didn't know how to ask. That was exactly the question I wanted to ask myself. So thank you for that. And thank you for Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu, for that answer. Totally clarified. But I also have a separate question. You know, you're encouraging us to write poetry. And I'm just wondering, maybe you might have explained it, but maybe I just didn't catch it. You know, I'm trying to understand why it's so important that we do try when we might have talents in other areas, you know?
Right.
You know, somebody might be better at painting, somebody might be better at, you know, I don't know, writing articles or, you know, so many other talents in Krishna consciousness. So why is so much importance on this one?
Yeah, because poetry is a part of the culture of the spiritual world. And we, one fine day, we want to enter into the spiritual world and be a part of Krishna's parivar, Krishna's family. Now, if we want to become a part of Krishna's parivar, Krishna's family, then ideally we want to have all the skills that are needed in order to function efficiently in Krishna's parivar. Although if we don't have poetic skills in the spiritual world, we will learn them. And why will we have to learn poetry in the spiritual world? Because it is said that there are 64 arts which are learned by all the followers of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. Now, these 64 arts are described by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his commentary to Brahma Samhita. What I will do is, I will share my screen with you and then we can have a look at some of these 64 arts. So, let's just see what are the 64 arts which, you know, Srimati Radharani is and her friends are expert in. So see here, the 64 activities in purport of Brahma Samhita 5.37, fine arts and crafts. So all of us have to compulsorily have this in the spiritual world. So why not practice it here? First and foremost, Gita, singing, Vadya, playing instruments, Nritya, dancing, Natya, dramaturgy, theatrics, Alekhya, painting, Vishesha Kachedya, painting with colored unguents and cosmetics. So many of these. And then one of the arts, let me see. One of the arts is Prahelika, art of making and solving riddles. Then art of reciting books and art of practicing language. And Kavya Samasya, art of solving enigmatic verses. All these are prerequisites of followers of Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. So love is in the details, as many details as we can acquire in this world. So we can try to show our love towards Krishna in the spiritual world to that degree of detail. So if we want to love Krishna in detail, we will try to learn all the details, as many details as possible. That is the answer.
Okay, so for example, is it just as valid to focus my attention, let's say, on creating riddles? That was one of the 64. Is it just as valid to do that as it is to, like, invest my energy in creating poetry?
Yeah, you can create riddles also. Beautiful riddles can be created for Krishna. So there are so many nice riddles that one can write simply for the pleasure of Krishna, that, you know, it can be one of the most enlivening sevas that one has ever encountered. One time I wrote a riddle for Krishna. I don't have it handy with me. Kam sam jaghan avai Krishna. Question is asked. Kam, who,
some jaghan avai Krishna was nicely killed by Krishna. The answer is there in the kamsam jaghan avai Krishna. Kamsa was nicely killed by Krishna. Then another was ke shavam tarpayanti ye. Ke, who are those shavam tarpayanti that truly satisfy a dead man? So the answer is there. Ke shavam tarpayanti, those who satisfy Lord Keshav. Like this. This is art of creating riddles. So all those arts can be brought to life in our devotional practices. That is the answer.
So the real question for me then is, are all those 64 arts, are they all on the same level? Like Kavi is one, but are they all on the same level with Kavi or not?
No, some of them are not related to Kavya. Some of them are related to cooking. So one can select according to one's choice, what one wants to specialize in. According to what one wants to... Yeah.
What I meant was, you know, not are they all related to Kavya. I meant, you know, is there any like hierarchy among the 64 that, you know? Okay, so it doesn't matter which one we try to perfect. It could be Kavya, it could be the cooking, it could be the painting, it could be any of them, right?
Yes. See, Kavya and cooking are so similar to each other. What is Kavya means, what is Kavya? What is the purpose of Kavya? The purpose of Kavya is to experience rasa, mellow. What is the purpose of cooking? The purpose of cooking is to experience rasa, mellow. So Kavya and cooking are so in so many ways similar to each other, so many ways. So there are so many ways of pleasing Krishna, and we can try to specialize in whatever ways that appeal to us.
Okay, great. Phew, I'm relieved. Let me just clarify also that question that Preeti Mataji brought up about circumambulating Tulsi. So when we see people who are spinning, I think you said that was not actually the correct thing to do. We just keep Tulsi, make sure that she's always closest to, let's say, our right arm, right? Or right side.
See, one is spinning during dancing. That is allowed.
Yeah.
Because that is not circumambulation. The intention is not of circumambulation. But when the intention is of circumambulation, then one should not spin around one's own self. That is the siddhanta.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Leonard Pranam. This is Radha Bhav Dasi. Prabhuji, I have a question. You just mentioned from Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu that we need to have the 64 qualities. So is it that until we perfect all the 64 qualities, we don't get entry into the spiritual world?
No. Not like that. These 64 are not given in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. They are Chatushashti Kala, which are previous authors in Ujjwal Nilmani and other books Rupa Goswami has specified. These Chatushashti Kala, 64 arts are present with Srimati Radharani and the Gopis. And these 64 arts are to be perfected in the Siddha Deha, not in the Sadhak Deha. In the Sadhak Deha, we can try to perfect one or two, as many as we can. But all of them will be ultimately perfected in the Siddha Deha if we become made servant of Srimati Radharani. So it's not a prerequisite. None of this is a prerequisite for entering into spiritual world. That is the answer.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hare Radha Bhava Mataji. Thank you, Radha Bhava Mataji, for asking this question. Even I was thinking that for us, the entry is limited now. I don't think so. We'll be able to enter the spiritual world.
That way, I also can't enter. The only thing what I know to cook is I know how to boil water. That's what I know. In that way, I also can't enter.
Maybe that's why it says you take millions and millions of lives.
<Yeah. laughs> True, so true. Thank you, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for this enlivening class, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, regarding this circumambulation, I have a question. So while we circumambulate Tulsi Maharani, so I have seen some of the devotees spin around themselves and circumambulate at some point. How to see that aspect, Prabhuji?
What they do is they don't circumambulate around themselves. Because they don't want to show their back towards the deity. Therefore, what they do is they turn around so that their back is never facing the deity. That is what they do. So that is the reason why they turn around while they are circumambulating.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Got it. Very nice. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji, again for this giving your valuable time and enlightening on this topic, Prabhuji. Such a wonderful class. We have to again, repeatedly hear this class, Prabhuji. And at this point, Prabhuji, with your permission and with devotees' permission, if there are no more questions, Prabhuji, then I would like to pay my obeisances to you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
One thing is, as long as possible, we can have questions. I am available here, no problem, but as long as time permits. So, yes, Prabhu, you can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam to you. It was very nice lecture. Loved very much as you created the Rasa Bhava of creating poets in us today. We never thought about this, that we can create the poet this way. So, you are also in the footstep of His Holiness Radha Goswami Maharaj, that the way he speaks the katha and when he speaks the sloka and gives the sandhi separations of the slokas very nicely, similar way like you're trying best in footstep of Radha Goswami Maharaj, which I like very much from you. All the time, we have enjoyed here in Chicago also all your lecture in poetry way of speaking out, and your sloka that you speak the bhav in it so very deeply involved in it all the time. We love you all for that all wonderful class today.
Thank you, Prabhu.
His Holiness Radha Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Hari Prasad Prabhu ki jai.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranams, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Prabhu, I just wanted to express my gratitude to you. I have no questions, but sincerely thank you for your, contribute and associate with us more on Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it is so nectarian, and as everybody said, I'm also very, very pleased that this verse actually came to you, and you did a fantastic job, Prabhu, for helping us relish this nectar. And to your credit, sometimes what is being conveyed through the poetry itself is difficult to understand and decipher. And when you are able to compose such poetry, I mean, what more can we say, Prabhu? I'm just talking about even Harisuri's compositions. It's so hard to decipher. Even after you translating it for us, it takes some time for us to ingest and understand the essence of the poetry. So we are so, so indebted to you, because composing poetry, as we understand through your lecture, is no joke. And you simplify it and help us understand the nectar through your translations. Totally indebted to you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. Hare Krishna, devotees. So if there are no more questions, so with all your permission, Prabhuji's permission, we can end the call. Once again, Prabhu, thank you so much for this very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindho vyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindiki jai namacharya shila haridas thakur ki jai shila prabhupada ki jai chaitanya chaitamrita ki jai
hello
his grace hari parshad prabhu ji ki jai jai thank you so much prabhu ji
thank you prabhu ji koti koti dandavat pranam hare krishna
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare.